opening of the investiture, the only proper way to open the investiture of a president of Yeshiva University and REITs is with substantive Divrei Torah. The ceremony itself inside Lamport is highly structured, and we will hear Divrei Torah from Rabbi Berman and others. But Rabbi Berman was very, very committed that the investiture should begin with an opportunity to hear from our Rosh Yeshiva, those who truly set the tone for everything that we do. It's my pleasure to first call upon our Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schechter, the Nathan and Vivian Fink Distinguished Professorial Chair in Talmud at REITs. That's the name of the chair, Rebbe. As well as known very well as our Rosh Yeshiva and the Rosh Kollel of the Katz Kollel. Shachter Shlita.
Good morning, everyone. Twice a day, we recite Kriyat Shema, and we say the pasuk "Le'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha." We have to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible, so how can you develop a love for an invisible being? So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes from the Sifrei. Most of the comments that Rashi has on Chumash are from the Gemara, from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, from the Sifrei. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. The way to fulfill that mitzvah you have to is by doing the next pasuk, Vayu Hadvarim Ha'ele. By learning Torah, one develops a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that work? How does that happen? That a person learns Torah, he develops a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pashtus is that this is based on the following idea. There is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim where the Torah says it's a din of Golus, that if someone kills someone else by accident, he has to run away to one of the six Ari Miklot. And the pasuk describes that this accident that he killed someone, the oinus b'shoigeg, ha'elokim min aliyah, that was min ha'shamayim. He didn't choose to kill the other person; it was min ha'shamayim. What does that mean? Ha'elokim min aliyah. So if it's not his fault, if it's min ha'shamayim, so what does he have to suffer to go into the golus for? So Rashi quotes a medrash commenting on the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, where the pasuk says, "Kasher yoyim ha'mashal ha'kadmoni me'rishayim yetzei resha," as the ancient proverb says. From the evil people, all the bad things emanate. So it must have been that if Mirashamayim, they chose him to be the one to kill the other one, B'shogeg, he must have done some avil in the past, and that's why they picked him to do the dirty work. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, what does that mean? Who is the ancient proverb? Who's the Bala Nachaba of the ancient proverb? Who is it? Confucius? Who is it? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mashal HaKadmoni is the Chumash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmono Shel Olam. And this is based on a pasuk in Chumash that all the evil things emanate from bad people. It's based on this pasuk for Elokim min aliyah. If he was chosen min hashamayim to kill the other person, the shogeg, must be that he did something improper, and that's why they chose him to be the shliach l'ro. What does it mean? The Chumash is referred to as the mashal hakadmoni. So the pasuk pshat is the Chumash was authored by Kadmonosho, and the Chumash was authored by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his many Sforim, people are afraid to read the Chavetz Chaim Sforim, they think everything is about Lashon Hara. It's not all about Lashon Hara. And most of the Sforim he writes when you're mechuyif to tell a Lashon Hara. He tells you when you're committed and mechuyif to say Lashon Hara. It's not always, not everything is us. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to tell a Lashon Hara. So he writes in one of his other Sforim about Hashkafa, the Sefer Shem Olam. He writes, no, the Torah is Moshal HaKadmon, it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he gives a mashal to understand. He says, if I've never seen the king or the president of the country, but I saw his photograph in a newspaper, Fotografia Balaz, I know what he looks like. So I'll be walking in Washington, and I'll bump into a person who looks like Mr. Trump, appears in the newspapers, and he has a Secret Service man around him. I can identify that's Mr. Trump. I know what he looks like. I can identify him. So he says, the Chumash is not merely a collection of mitzvahs, do's and don'ts. The 613 mitzvahs read their mitzvahs. You're obligated to observe the 248 mitzvahs asay, and you're obligated to observe the mitzvahs loisay, the 365 mitzvahs loisay. But in addition to being a collection of laws, do's and don'ts, it's also a description, if you put together, kol ha'Torah kulo, it's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we would give a precise definition of what Elokus is, well, what does it mean to be God? So we wouldn't understand one word. The Kuzari has such a light. Daily indicted Hayisis. If I would understand what Alakus is, I would be the Rabban Shalom himself, the only one who understands Alakus is the Rabban Shalom. So the Rabban Shalom can only explain what Alakus is, Derech Mashal. Chaim Balozhan writes that the Nefesh HaChaim can't even give a mashal. We wouldn't understand a mashal either. You had to give a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. So the Torah as we have it is a mashal HaKadmoni, a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is Kadmon Shalom. He's the ancient one with the capital A. And it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. A photograph of the Grafi Belas. Rav Soloveitchik has in several of his published essays why such an insistence that the Rambam lists off the 13 Ikarim of Emunah. So the main Ikar and Emunah that we have today that distinguishes the Orthodox from the other streams is Shazos HaTorah Laws HaImachlefes. We believe that the laws of the Torah are immutable. Why should the laws of the Torah be immutable? Every state has a state constitution. The United States has a constitution. And they always have constitutional conventions to touch up the laws. From 1776 till 2017, the world changed, a different world. So what's so bad if you change the laws here and there? Why can't the Rabban Shalom himself change some of the laws of the Torah? So Leitchik has in several of his published essays, of course, that both Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Baal HaTanya both give the same explanation. Most, if not all, of the two Svarim, of the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, are identical. They just have different styles of presenting it, but basically they say the same things. So they both say the same thing. The reason why the laws of the Torah are immutable is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change. Navi Malachi says, Ani Hashem lo shanisim, atem v'neyankim lo chelisim. Only the Nevroim are subject to change. Rabban Shalom doesn't change. And the Torah is a description of Elokus. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah cannot possibly change. The Metzias keeps on changing. The world keeps on changing. So sometimes the din will not always be the same. Just because for 2,000 years we observed the din one way, it could be that because it's a changing world, a different sif in Shulchan Aruch will apply today. But in principle, the laws of the Torah never change. So this is based on this concept that the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We read another one of the Ikari HaMunah in the Rambam's listing of the 13 Ikari HaMunah is we believe in prophecy, we believe in Nevuah. There are those who think that logically, philosophically, it's impossible that God can communicate with man. God is infinite and man is finite. How can it be? And how does it make sense that people should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can we communicate to God? It's impossible. So we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has communicated to man. He has given Nevuah. He will give Nevuah in the future as well. And likewise, we can communicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can daven to him and he listens. Sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no, but he can listen. He listens to our prayers. The principle, the Ikar of Tefillah, is included in the Ikar of Nevuah. So the Rambam lists Nevuah as one of the 13 Ikari HaMunah. And then he says, next Ikar of Nevuah that we believe, Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level than the prophecy of all of the other prophets. What's the significance of saying Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi? It's like little children sometimes argue, my father's smarter than your father, my father's richer than your father, my father's fatter than your father, whatever they think of my land, whatever they think of my land. My father has something less. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi. What's the significance of saying that he's the greatest Navi? So Rav Soloveitchik kicks it. It's all based on the parsha in Bahaloyska. When Miriam and Aaron accidentally, the Shegek, said Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch appears to them and he tells them, Lo kein avdi Moshe, you all have Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is on a much higher level. So the Rambam got this Iker from Parshas Baal Oyscha, but the Chumash emphasizes that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. We just laid the other week, we laid in Parshas Kisetze about Zechiras Chet Miriam. So what's the significance of Zechiras Chet Miriam? So the Sifra has a comment, you should remember that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. She was punished, so we should remember we shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. So Rav Soloveitchik said over in connection with his Chiras Chet Miriam, he said over from Rav Kook's Siddur, Eilas Ria. He thought that it was a beautiful idea. He thought that, yeah, Lashon Hara is also included, but he didn't think Lashon Hara is a serious idea. He didn't think that it's that serious, that it deserves to be one of the Zechiras, one of the Sheikh's Chiras. He thought that the Chiras Chet Miriam means to remember this lesson that was told to Miriam after the Chet, and the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is at a much higher level It's a different type of nevuah. So what's the significance of nevuah? In what sense is it different? So the pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who smunas Hashem yabrit. He's the only one who saw the image of God. So you get the mistaken impression as if God really has a body and he sits in his inner sanctum. He doesn't let anybody come in to see what he looks like. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was permitted to come in to see what God looks like. But this contradicts the other record. We believe that God doesn't have a body. So how do you understand the pasuk that smunas Hashem yabrit? That's the significance of the Maila, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is on a higher level than that of the other prophets at Tmunas Hashem Yabit. So the Pashto says that this is exactly what it means. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was told Torah. He was the only one who was given. The other Nevi'im were given nevuah. Nevuah by definition means Hayroah Shah. What to do on this occasion, how to act, the prediction of what's going to happen in the future and how to act when this thing happens. Moshe Rabbeinu also had Hayroah Shah, he also had nevuah. And one who is Oival Dibei Novi is Chaimisa B'dei Shammai. But most of what Moshe Rabbeinu said was not a Hayroasha. Most of what Moshe Rabbeinu said was Torah Mitzvahs. Means most of it was a description of Elokus. Tmunas Hashem Yabit, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was told Torah. That's where Rav Soloveitchik explained that these two Ikari Hamunah, the Iker, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im, and the Iker Zasatar Lasim Machlefes are basically two parts of the same Iker. We believe Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was given Dinim L'Doros, and the Dinim L'Doros all make up this description of Elokus. That's what it means. It's Munas Hashem Yabit. When we recite Birchas HaTorah every morning, more at the end of the first parak in Brachas quotes the text of the Brachas, so we say, Lasik v'dir esor, v'havin Hashem ha'ken v'dir esor rosko, v'vhinu fi yam chavesh esor. V'nihi anachnu v'tzatzoeinu, v'tzatzo yam chavesh esor kolonu, yoydei shemecho, v'lom dei esor esor chodishmo. What does that mean, yoydei shemecho? Where does that come in over here? We know the name of God. Kodesh Baruch Hu has zayin shem, shein l'mchot. What do you mean, yoydei shemecho? The pashtus is that the Gemara in Brachas, later, and the Chofal, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk in Chumash, that there's an obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah. Once a day, every day, we recite Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara knows that after the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaLogodol Elokeinu. Everyone should give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we pronounce His name. So we know that the Kangodol on Yom Kippur used to pronounce the Shem HaMeforash several times, and everybody called the Om, Om de Mazar HaKari Meshtachim HaModim. When they heard the Shem HaMeforash Yetzim Yitpi Kangodol, they would all kneel on the floor. Everyone would be Karei Meshtachim HaModim. And scream out, Baruch Shem Kvay Malchus of the Arnavot. So this is based on the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekro, of a Godel Elokein. We have a minig, we assume Shulchan Aruch is not a real din, and whenever someone says a Baruch, he says Baruch Ato Hashem. So Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes in the Shulchan Aruch, he should say Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemoy. We praise the Shem Hashem. Even though it's not the Shem Amfarish, the real din there is when you hear the Kain Godel, when you hear someone say the Shem Amfarish, you have to give a Shevach, you have to kneel on the ground, and give a sheva. And the meaning has developed. Whenever someone says a bracha, baruch ata Hashem, they say baruch hu baruch shemoy. So we understand kishem Hashem ekra avagodol elokeinu. When someone pronounces shem Hashem, we have to give praise. Where do you see from that pasuk kishem Hashem ekra that when you learn Bava Kamma, you have to recite Birchas HaTorah? You can probably learn 50 blot of Bava Kamma, you won't come across shem Hashem at all. And we don't learn 50 blot in one day. We learn, who learns so much in one day? You learn a Gemara with the complicated thesis, with the Marshal, with the Pneishim. Where do you have Shem Hashem? How do you see from that pasuk Shem Hashem Ekra? We go to Lokeinu, and there's an obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah when we are about to learn Torah. So the Marshal comments on that Gemara. Chaim Volozhin writes the same in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. They both quote the Ramban in the Hakdomah, in his Hakdomah to his commentary on Chumash. Rabban quotes from the Zohar. Rabban often quotes from the Zohar. Rabban quotes a passage from the Zohar. Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Chumash is a description of Elokus. The Shem means when you're describing something. I say, this is a shtender, this is a tape recorder, this is a loudspeaker, this is a menorah. When you say what the Shem is, you're describing what the thing is. When you say Kol HaTorah Kula, it's a description of the essence of Elokus. So that's how the Chazal understood the pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekro, when I'm describing the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dehainu, when I'm learning Torah, we are obligated to give a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why in the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, since the whole limud, the whole pasuk in Chumash, from which we derive this din, that you have to recite Birchas HaTorah, the pasuk is Kishem Hashem Ekro, that Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, That's why in the Nusach HaBrach we say, Nia Kolonu, Yoy Reishenecha. We should all understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lom Disarosach HaLishma. Yoy Reishenecha means to learn what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about by learning the Torah. This is why in the our yeshiva is a hemshech of Voloshin. Most of the other yeshivas in America are a hemshech of Slavotka. Baron Kotel learned in Slavotka, Rabbi Rudiman from Baltimore, Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky, they all learned in Slavotka. So Slavotka, they had one style of learning. They had to say the Iyud, where they went slowly, then they had to say the Bikirs, when they covered more ground, and they had to say the Musa. Our yeshiva was originally a combination of two different yeshivas. Yeshiva Seitzchaim, Yeshiva Seitzchaim, Seitzchaim was the name of Voloshin. It was a carryover from Voloshin. Voloshin didn't have two Sidorim, Iyun in Bikirs. They never had Musa Seder either. So Kozman, and we were talking, even Kozman, Rav Lesser was here, so there was a Musa Seder. He was from Slovakia. And before and after Rav Lesser, there was no Musa Seder up here. Now it's a Seder. Now it's quite a shallow, so we have a Musa Seder 15 minutes before Maariv. But basically, this yeshiva follows Voloshin. So Voloshin, all the Litvish yeshivas, there was so much emphasis on Limud HaTorah, very little on Musa, even those yeshivas where they did have Musa, very little on Musa. Everything was based on Limud HaTorah, on the assumption that to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can only love someone if you know something about the person. And the more you know about that individual, so the more you will love that individual. So we'll get to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way to fulfill the Aftos Hashem HaLakefa, is by Limud HaTorah, we'll get to know what HaLikus is all about. The more you understand what HaLikus is all about, so the more we will be able to develop a love for Him. That's why we place so much emphasis in Yeshiva on Limud HaTorah. Thank you very much.
Our Rebbe, Rav Michal Rosenzweig, holds the Nathan and Perel Shuf Chair of Talmud. He's a Rosh Yeshiva and a Rosh Kolel, the Bella and Harry Wexner Kolel Elyon at Reitz. Rav Rosenzweig.
Shuf Shachter, Rabbanim. Let me begin just by indicating and I'm very pleased to be able to participate in this milestone for our yeshiva, the investiture of a new president, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman. Our yeshiva really is, as Rosh Hashanah just indicated, a very special place, a unique makom Torah, vital not only to our community, but to all of Klal Yisrael, to the world. And as one who's both learned here and had this kus for many years now of teaching in this special environment, this special status and stature is something that those of us who learn Bein Kosei Beis HaMedrash are all aware of, and it's something that on a day like this we're able to share with others. I'm particularly pleased to be able to express the bracha to the incoming president, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman. He's somebody for whom I have special affection and regard as a Talmud Chacham, as a leader, originally as a Talmud. What I'd like to do is talk very briefly about Talmud Torah, as Rav Shechter Shlita did just a minute ago. Our raison d'etre, v'chaye olam nata v'sochenu, kihem chayenu v'orachamenu, and especially one particular point, the dialectical and mutually enhancing relationship between lilmod and lalamed, learning and teaching. A singular philosophy of education and especially of religion that Yadus really introduced to the world and projects in singular fashion, and that I think also embodies particularly our yeshiva and its new president. Yeshiva University is indeed a community of students and teachers, but not merely in the conventional sense, vocational sense, of a place of study, but I think essentially and existentially as well, and that's something that flows from the Beis Medrash in a very fundamental way. The halacha establishes clearly the centrality of Talmud Torah. Mishnah and Masechet Peah, oft repeated, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Axiologically, the value of Talmud Torah, its role in the hierarchy of Jewish values, and as a linchpin and foundational concept, the basis for other basic
core halachic institutions. Tshuva, Yiras Shamayim, Avas Hashem, all of these really are rooted in the principle of Talmud Torah. We'll speak a little bit more about Avas Hashem, something which Moshe Echter Shlita just spoke so beautifully about. And yet, it's fascinating that notwithstanding the centrality and the linchpin status of Talmud Torah, that there's a certain ambiguity in the source and formulation, what the real makar is, and how really to define, identify, and understand what Talmud Torah is. Even the phrase itself, Limud HaTorah, or Talmud Torah, has two equal intents. One, of course, referring to Lilmod, the study of Torah, and the other, Lilamed. It's very striking, given the disparity between them. In some respects, learning and teaching are opposites. They're certainly different orientations. Study is about self-fulfillment and self-development. It's very inner-oriented. It's Chanoch Lenaro Pidarko, but the Darko in this case is the Talmud. Every Talmud starts from a different place, has a different orientation of personality, inclinations, and strengths, and so on. And it's about, as I say, his religious and spiritual and educational development. Teaching is very focused on a particular style. It's an outer-directed, pedagogic endeavor, right, where there are tools and mechanisms and methodologies. In the academy, in the world of the university, the gap between a student and a teacher, between a disciple and his master or professor, is huge. There's a certain pecking order and hierarchy. The divergent is particularly decisive and unequivocal. And yet in the world of Torah, and I think this is fundamental, essential to what Talmud Torah is all about, the line between Lilmod and the Lamed is one which is blurred. Rav Sajigon and the Bahag count Lilmod and the Lamed, to learn and to teach, as two distinct mitzvahs, reflecting at least a little bit that they are distinctive. They're distinctive in focus and emphasis. There can even be a clash between the two. Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin that all things being equal, a person, chayecha kodmin, they don't use this expression, but the idea, a person has to first and foremost take care of himself, and therefore, if there's no capacity to teach your child and to learn yourself, your personal learning comes first. However, if you have a particularly promising Talmud, a Zoriz, somebody who has great potential, in that situation, the Talmud, in some respects, as we'll see, comes first. Again, there's a clash between Lilmod and Lamed, and even then, we don't have a decisive formula, which we typically do, Chayecha Kodmin L'chayi Chavercha, even though V'ahavtel R'yacha Kamocha, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the lines are a little blurred, and the question is why. But at least for the Bahag and Rav Sajigon, we're dealing with two different mitzvos, perhaps two different orientations. However, the Rambam, who is the most authoritative voice in Minyan and Mitzvos, and following the Rambam, the Chinuch and the Smag and the Smach, most of the Monia mitzvos actually count a single mitzvah. One mitzvah. It's also fascinating that the Rambam himself seems to blur what exactly that single mitzvah is. In the Koteret to Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam tells us that the mitzvah is Lilmod. The Rambam says here, Yesh b'klalon shtei mitzvah saseh, v'zehu praton, Lilmod Torah. First mitzvah is Lilmod Torah. However, when you look at the body of the text, the first thing that the Rambam tells us is Noshim Avodim Ktanim Turim Mitalmud Torah, Abul Kotem Aviv Chayev Lilamdo Torah. The first thing that we read about is the obligation not to study, but to teach. And the question is why? If you look at Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam's formulation in the Minyan HaKotzar, HaMitzvah Yeralef Shetzivanu Lilmod Chokmas HaTorah Ulilamda, V'zehu Shenikra Talmud Torah. The Rambam embraces the ambiguity of the term Talmud Torah, Torah, study, meaning both teaching and learning, in a way which is consistent with his formulation there, that it's a Lilmod Ulalame. But where else do we have such a mitzvah in which two components, seemingly disparate and diverse, are integrated into one. So we have actually three formulations of the Rambam. In the Koteret Lilmod, in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Lelamed, and in Sefer Mitzvos, Lilmod Ulelamed, as a single mitzvah. And the question, of course, is why? This overlap and this confusion is something which has its roots in the Gemara itself, where the Gemara ironically wants to teach of the obligation that the father has to teach his son. We speak of, Gemara says, Lim lamdo Torah minalan, d'psivli martem asom isbenecha. But then the Gemara goes on to say, v'heched lo agmarei avua, when the father is not learned, mechayed ihu lemigmar nafshei. That under those conditions, he's obligated, we would have expected to encounter the word, to learn himself. But basically what the Gemara tells us is that if he's not sufficiently learned to teach his child, he's obligated to teach himself. Now there's no fundamental difference between, no practical difference between learning and teaching yourself. But again, conceptually, what is it? Lilamed or Lilmod? Then the Gemara goes on to discuss the difference between the genders, the fact that formally and technically, though we certainly encourage women to study and to be taught, especially when there's that opportunity, but biblically, there's a difference between men and women. And the Gemara goes on to explain where this comes from. Ihi minalan delo mechaiba, the woman does not have the obligation to teach her child, technically. Dechsiv limadatem, ulamadatem, kol she mitzvah lilmod, mitzvah lelamed. Kol she eno mitzvah lilmod, eno mitzvah lelamed. This is very fascinating. There's no obligation to teach because she has no obligation formally to learn. Then the Gemara goes on to source the fact that she has no obligation to learn, and that comes from the fact that she's not included in the obligation to be taught. Essentially, it's fascinating to note also that the Rambam, who doesn't always follow up with the details of every limud, basically codifies not only these halachos, but the limudim themselves in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, halacha Aleph through Daled. In other words, for some reason, when the Torah wants to signify teaching, it speaks about the requirement of learning. When it wants to signify learning, it focuses on teaching. This bidirectional overlap in the Gemara and in the Rambam, certainly Omer Dorsheni, requires that we understand what its implications are. To solve the problem, or the mystery, let's just employ very briefly a suggestion that the Rav Zatzal made in a different context. Speaking about tshuva and the seeming discrepancy between the koteret of the Rambam when he introduces Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and the koteret he speaks about Lashuv HaChote Micheto, speaks about tshuva, and Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Hilchos Tshuva he speaks about tshuva as vidui, confession. The Rav once suggested that often when there's a discrepancy between the koteret, between the Rambam's larger or broader description of the mitzvah and the details of the mitzvah in the halakos themselves, that often that signifies a discrepancy between the kiyama mitzvah and the maisa mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is captured by the koteret, by the Rambam's initial description. The methodology, and I would add, the methodology that also underscores what is unique and singular about the halachic approach to a particular institution or mitzvah, that is captured by the way, by the method in which it is implemented. In other words, the ultimate goal is for each Jew, Lilmod, to study. Because Lilmod is the source of Yedias Hashem, as Rosh Hashem so beautifully just explained. Shemos Hashem, ki shema Hashem ekra, Havu Godel Lelokeinu. For a person to develop a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can do that only by means of a vehicle that is directed from above. Otherwise, it's a philosophical impossibility. And therefore, Lilmod is the goal. Lilmod is the key to other halakhic institutions. And more importantly, it is the key to having a kesher, a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is our raison d'etre, Kiyem Chayenu, which makes life worth living. However, the methodology, the way that you go about your lilmod, must include a heavy dose of and the orientation behind lilamed. And that is true for several reasons. Number one, in terms of rigor and responsibility, standards, if you ever have to teach, you know that you better know the material much better than when you first learned it. You have to anticipate questions. The thought about presentation sharpens your formulations, sharpens your focus. Teaching is a guarantee against slovenly or lax lil mode. The best methodology of lil mode is to put yourself in a position of lilame. And because we're speaking about something which is a linchpin for other institutions and for our very relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the idea that we would want to be accurate, precise, rigorous is, of course, axiomatic. But I think it goes well beyond the question of rigor. The idea of lilamed at the center of the enterprise of lilmod is itself something that reflects that Torah is a Torah's chesed, that sharing, impacting on others is part of the essential character of what Torah is all about. Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh, every Jew a guarantor for every other Jew. The idea of altruism and generosity is something that is built in to the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, to the concept of learning by means of teaching. Kinat Sofim Tarba Chachma, rivalry, competition, healthy contest in Torah study is not about being the sole winner. It's not a zero-sum game. It's about elevating our understanding of Yedias Hashem for the totality of Klal Yisrael. Indeed, the idea of Lelamed comes from the Parsha of Ayam Shavua. The Ramban has a comment in that Parsha in which he says, V'limartem osam, as opposed to the Shinantam Levanecha, highlights even more the Lelamed as opposed to the Lilmod. It's worth noting, as Chazal did, that the whole Parsha of Ayam Shavua is B'lashon Rabin, as opposed to the Parsha of Kriyashma. Kriyashma focuses on Lilmod. There, V'shinantem Levanecha is part of Shehei Dibrei Torah V'chudadim B'picha. It's also a strategy for the rigor and the standards and the depth of your own Torah study. But the Parsha and Ekev of Ayam Shavua, I think, is the Parsha which relates to Klal Yisrael and Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. It's the sharing with others that is such a basic perspective in the concept of Talmud Torah itself. The third element is the one that Rosh Hashanah focused on, again, so beautifully before, the idea of the Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos explains that the methodology of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha is Limud HaTorah. He also adds the paradigm of Avraham Avinu, Avraham Ohavi. And he describes how Avraham Avinu's exuberance and enthusiasm was such that he could not contain the Torah, he couldn't restrict it to himself. He was almost perforce forced to share it with others. He was so excited. He encountered the meaning of life, and he couldn't bottle that up selfishly. The overflowing enthusiasm of Avas Hashem forced him to share with others. Avram Megayeres Hanashim, Sarah Megayeres Hanashim. This idea in Sefer HaMitzvos, that Talmud Torah is the key to Avas Hashem, also reminds us that the goal, even as it's rooted in a process which is extremely rigorous and intellectual, in the end of the day, is to find that purpose that we spoke of before. Shemos Shalai Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's to achieve and to attain the relationship of Avas Hashem. Haskel V'yadoa Osi, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is connected to the Yedias Hashem that comes from Torah study. Lilamed, as a method of lilmod, accomplishes that goal in that that enthusiasm, that sharing, is part of the Avas Hashem. And finally, the fourth element that we'll mention very briefly now is the idea of Mesorah. The idea of Rebbe Talmud. The Rav has a very beautiful development in the Igros HaGrid, where he talks about the fact that it's not just that the Torah was given in oral fashion, therefore required the continuity of teaching and learning and teaching and learning. It's that Torah cannot be acquired without a Rebbe, without the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. That relationship is foundational to Torah understanding, to Torah essence, and especially to developing an intuition about what Torah really is. That idea of Mesorah, Torah Shebaal Peh, requires Lelamed practically, but again, more fundamentally, highlights that Lelamed is key to the enterprise of Lilmod. This complex and core relationship explains the ruling of the Gemara that on the one hand, Lilmod, Chayecha Kodmin, but you also have to take into consideration Klal Yisrael and who qualitatively is going to be a superior transmitter, L'dorei Doros, of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Torah, in some cases, B'no Kodem. And finally, this explains another remarkable phenomenon singular to Talmud Torah. Halacha's equation of Banim and Talmidim. V'shinanta l'banecha talmidecha. A unique Jewish concept. The equation and educational enterprise of the biological and educational progeny. Banecha talmidecha. This remarkable notion that educational impact and shared creativity can be something, that shared wonderment and discovery that creates an equivalent to a father-son bond, has dual implications. It means that every Jewish household is a Beis Medrash, that our obligations to our children begins with Talmud Torah. Our children are our students. It also means that our students are our children. That special bond of Banecha Talmidecha is the basis of Lilmod Ulalamed and everything that goes into it. So far is a very famous question. Who wants to know, how is it, or why is it that we need a separate source to teach you that Banecha, your children, come first in the educational process? After all, we know it for the world of Tzedakah and other halachos. It's always true that Karov Karov Kodem, your relatives, come first. But I think because of this powerful notion of creating a family by means of this shared discovery of Talmud Torah, this idea of Banecha Talmidecha, makes it particularly important to emphasize the hierarchy, because indeed, in many respects, Talmud Torah is the exception to the rule of Chayecha Kodmin, Lelamed, and Lilmod. If this is the case, then I think we can return to what we began. It's true that the Bahag, for example, counts independently the obligation to teach students separate from children, but almost every other Monei Mitzvos includes Vishinata Levanecha Talmidecha together. Why then the ambiguity of Lilmod Ulalamed? The answer is because the Torah wants us to develop a community of learners and teachers. Not distinctively, but teachers who are learners, learners who are teachers, Talmidim who are Talmidei Chachamim, Chachamim who have this sense of generosity to others. And right now, in giving bracha to our incoming president, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, who's really a superb product of our Beis Medrash, who really understands instinctively and consciously this dialectic of Lilmod Ulalamed. Our yeshiva has done great things in the past, it has a storied history, but I think that all of us believe that we're also poised to make much greater contributions and to intensify the philosophy, educational and especially spiritual, of Lilmod Ulalamed to accomplish that. We live in a time in which timeless values are under assault. But Lilmod Ulalamed, the values of Torah that come from Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam itself, are needed more than ever. They're the foundations of our lives. And therefore, as we go forward to a new era, we wish the upcoming president Hatzlacha and Bracha as he joins all of his special predecessors, each of whom contributed in a very special way to our special institution. And we wish that it'll be Lahagdil Toro Lahadira, Lilmod Lalame. Thank you very much.
Shkayach, thank you. Rav Schechter, Rav Rosenzweig. Ticket holders are asked to quickly move into Lamp Auditorium for the ceremony. Everyone else is welcome to remain here in the Beis Medrash, as the ceremony will start in just a few minutes on the screen. Rosh Yeshiva, please line up outside of Lamport. Sorry, right outside the Beis Medrash. Please line up right outside the Beis Medrash in order to enter Lamport.